Begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language.
You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Oh yeah, I'm back.
Oh yeah, I went a little bit slower than I did last week. We're all back. I'm Morgan Nickel, Big Mouth Dickhead from the internet.
No, I'm Dylan Reeves, sitting quietly waiting for my turn.
But not as quietly as you previously have been. I think our most eagle-eared and most golden-eared listeners will note that your audio quality has changed fractionally. I mean, the people in the chat room won't be able to tell because they just get a hissing, crackly static the whole time. But pristine podcast listeners will hear that your microphone died, and so you've gone back to using your dirty old headset.
Yeah, oh well, these things happen.
It actually doesn't sound that different.
I don't know what's wrong. I'm just going to start hitting things. Once we finish the podcast, I'll just start hitting things and see if it starts working again.
Three kids and a whole wife to start with. I would never propose domestic violence as a solution to computer hardware problems. But you never know, though. This episode of Discourse is brought to you in part by Isaac's Pear Cider.
And in part, in the bottle in front of you, that part?
Yeah, that part. It's not really brought to you in any way, shape, or form by Isaac's Pear Cider. And if we were going to be brought to you by any kind of alcoholic beverage, it wouldn't be one owned. I think that they're actually owned ultimately by Lion. So screw all those guys, basically.
Excellent.
Screw all those guys. And in chat room, we're not going to talk about the beer again this week. No, it hasn't been claimed. I'm going to hold on to it for as long as I can. Just not going to mention it again because, you know, 4 weeks of mentioning it, of talking about it on New Zealand's very best, if not most popular, podcast, should be enough. It was on the website.
I mean, pretty sure it's the most popular.
Anyone who's anyone should have a Google alert for their own goddamn name. And so that should have told them. Actually, I don't know.
John Smith probably shouldn't.
No, John Smith shouldn't. Do Google alerts still work? They must.
Yeah, I still get to do Google alerts for the weird things I've set Google alerts up for.
I don't know if I've still got any going. Maybe that's the problem, or maybe they're.
You'd be surprised how often people type pickled jellyfish in the internet.
Pickled jellyfish, is that something you've had?
No, it's not. I didn't actually have that. It was just two words that came into my mind that sounded like something people could put on the internet. And now that I think about it, it's probably a real thing, and it's probably lots of them on the internet.
Pickled jellyfish, but jellyfish live in briny.
The only. Well, it wouldn't be pickled in brine then, would it? It would be pickled in acid. The only Google alerts I have are for my name and other associated things.
Yeah.
So type my name somewhere and I'll see it.
Glory hole, Dylan.
Yeah, there's 257,000 results for pickled jellyfish.
Right. Okay. Hey, let's get this show on the road. What's going on this week? I know there's something, and it's the US election, and our podcast listeners already know the result, and we possibly know the result.
Well, they might not. They might know that it's turned into a giant quagmire and there'll be recounts upon recounts and Supreme Court decisions. Or they might know that Barack Obama won, because that's pretty much the two options.
Yeah.
One is Barack Obama won the election, and two is that somehow Mitt Romney managed to force recount upon recount and a Supreme Court decision.
I've only got
one or two
stories about the US election in the show notes, and they're pretty far down, so we might not really talk about it more later. So perhaps we can get a few things out of the way now.
While we're there, we'll also throw in Discourse Urban Dictionary Word of the Week when we get to it, because I happen to have chosen one very carefully that is tangentially related.
All right, perfect. Actually, that's good. There have been some... there are ridiculous things going on, basically. Phony, have you heard of robo-polling, push-polling and so on?
Yeah, that's classic.
Robo-calls. And so there are robo-calls calling, you know, certain sectors of society in various cities or counties or however they divide it up most appropriately. And giving them – and basically lying to people about how they can vote. Like, you're going to be able to vote on the phone. Just stay at home and we'll call you when it's your turn to vote. Or you can vote by email. It'll be great. We'll send you an email when it's time to vote. And, of course, those things aren't going to happen.
That's amazing.
It's absolutely amazing. Who are these people that figure that they obviously are great and good and so they should be in government? And then they make the jump to like, oh, so we should definitely cheat because we're the good guys. So we should definitely be cheating. It's like, who is, you know, what is the end game of a supervillain, right? And why would you be a henchman of a supervillain? Those people doing that kind of robocalling, push-polling stuff, they are henchmen and villains. And they must know that they're being villainous.
That's, well, yeah. But see, this is an interesting thing about electoral fraud, and that is that people tend to assume that the other side is doing it too.
Yeah.
So they think that by doing it, they're just kind of evening out the odds. Yeah. Whereas, in fact, apparently that's not usually the case. One side is engaging in it far more than another side. Usually, yeah. You know, almost nil on one side and a lot on the other. And it does vary, but mostly it tends to be Republicans.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to disenfranchising, because it's the Republicans who benefit most from
all the ID fraud and all the ID
laws. From a lower voter turnout.
Yeah.
And from stopping less mobile people from turning out.
Yeah. And I mean, there have been amazing stories about, really institutional stuff, like state governors general who have been installing illegal software patches on their computer voting machines.
It doesn't matter because it's not relevant. It doesn't really matter. Don't worry about that. It's fine. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change anything. Probably.
Doesn't it though?
Well, no, that's the thing.
But what if it does?
Well, yeah, what if it does? That's the whole thing with electronic voting. I really like the system we have in New Zealand where it's controlled by a single organisation, completely non-partisan, just a government department who just carries on about their business.
And you make marks with a felt tip pen.
Yep, and those felt and then an optical scanner recognises them. If anyone wants to go back and check, they can just look at the, worst comes to worst, someone can count all the paper again.
And it happens so fast. We get our results so quickly. I can't wait for our next election show, Dylan. I can't wait.
It will be amazing.
The graphics will blow everyone's socks right off. Let's just decide now not to have any graphics. If we're going to have graphics, this time we need...
cardboard on the wall.
We need. No, that was terrible. Your Triangle TV show that I wasn't involved with, which is why it was bad, that was terrible.
All right. I'll take that on board.
It was terrible. Our discourse show, amazing. Brilliant.
Yeah, and had the potential to be so much more amazing and brilliant.
If only the chap building the graphics had access to the machine that the graphics would be running on.
Very difficult. Well, lots of things could have been better, and they will be next time. We've got another, 2 years before we get to that? Is it 2 years? Year and a half?
God, it seems like a long time with this government, doesn't it? Think of all the damage they're going to be able to do.
Don't really care. Hey, you know, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. I was trying to find out, because Ohio is so ridiculously important in the election.
Yeah.
I was trying to find out how many voters there are in Ohio, like what the number of voters are. It's about 7 point something million, I think.
Wow, many.
But in Googling that, I happened upon the Ohio Secretary of State website, or state government website, whatever it is. Yeah, Secretary of State. And there you can download the electoral roll. And so I'm just looking at a file, a comma-separated file now, that has the details of every enrolled voter in Ohio.
That's really cool. Why haven't we got that?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I don't know what it's... I'm trying to figure out what it contains.
Because you have to go somewhere and look at a book here, don't you?
Yeah, you do. You have to go to the post office and look at a book if you want to stalk people effectively. Has it got their phone number in it? What have they got? Postal code. Yeah, career. Crazy.
And there'll be some related thing, which, because it seems like what individual private citizens have donated to seems to be an easy figure to get your hands on. So there must be a similar spreadsheet for that. Because, it seems like the press quite regularly say, these people, paid $50 to each of these candidates and so on. It seems like that's another public...
Yeah, there's a searchable database on that stuff, I think.
Yeah,
that would be interesting in New Zealand politics.
Wouldn't
it? It's a little bit different, but yeah, it would be interesting. We could see who Kim.com's given money to. Or more to the point, John Banks can see who Kim.com's given money to.
Oh, he has no memory of that. He's got no recollection, and he's obviously he's been completely cleared now.
Yeah, that's probably.
Corrections.
The police said something definitely was done wrong, but about too much time had passed. So, man, it's bizarre that John Key gave him a pass on that whole thing.
Well, it's not really.
John Key, what?
It'd be great to be able to talk to him about stuff like that. Anyway, whatever. I'm sure he won't ever accept my invitation to the show.
No, I don't imagine he would.
In fact, I doubt he even saw it, to be honest.
I tried to... Now, there was a big kerfuffle. There was a stink.
It was a very medium kerfuffle.
I'm talking about Homebrew Crew.
Yeah, I know. It was a medium kerfuffle. It wasn't a big kerfuffle.
Well, there were people on the right who were extremely upset about their use of language, the homebrew crew people. Now, these guys, they first came to my notice.
They do use language.
They do use language, much of it English, with, it was, what was it called? Listen to Us. Homebrew Crew, Listen to Us, which came out just before the last election. And that was a 5 or 6 minute long video. And it was very politically informed and very clearly left wing. It was a great track. And I'm pretty sure we spoke about it on the show. I don't see why we wouldn't have. We must have.
I don't remember. I don't know if I was involved then as much or whatever.
Yeah. And one of the chaps, like I guess the main rapper guy from Homebrew Crew, he also made a documentary travelling around in like Cambodia or somewhere, which I think also that played on Radio New Zealand perhaps. That might have been that guy Tourette's actually, who I'm not sure if he's in Homebrew, but he was involved with that Listen to Us video and track, and it was brilliant. These dudes are all smart and switched on. So, of course, the people who heard that they'd said that terrible word, the one beginning with C and ending with unt, they were like, these bloody hobo, homeless, drug
bloody idiots,
abusing, dole bludging, yeah, morons, blah, blah, blah. But it's very clear that these dudes are switched on. Anyway.
That's kind of the image they like to promote for themselves, though, I think.
That's right. It's part of the thing, right? It's part of the thing.
Yeah, I guess so. It's part of the... Well, they're one of those acts that's quite theatric.
Yeah.
Theatrical in their presentation, kind of like the, you know, the Insane Clown Posse, or it's the only one that comes to mind right now. But there's others who are very much almost a parody of themselves, or kind of operating on a slightly different level to what they intend to be outwardly. Because they also did a thing. What did they took over? Oh, was it Rip? No, what was the magazine that the Herald used to put out?
Sunday or something?
APN put out. No, like a music magazine. Was it? Oh, anyway, they took that over for one episode, for one issue, and there was a whole lot of videos on YouTube of them running rampant in the Herald offices.
Yeah.
Tormenting people. David Farrier is a good buddy of theirs, I think.
Yeah. Anyway, so I hit them up on Twitter, and they were into whoever it was that runs their Twitter account was into coming on, but apparently he was like going away to Taranaki or somewhere to write. This is what he said on Twitter. I told him to send me the phone number or whatever, and he said he would, but actually he didn't reply after that. So I can't say he said he would. But he said he was into it, but then it just hasn't come together. But anyway, so I guess maybe at some point we'll talk to someone from the Homebrew Crew, which would be really cool because I rate those dudes. They seem pretty good. And so far that I don't feel like they've actually had an opportunity to tell their whole side because, you know, the New Zealand media.
Yeah.
You know, not necessarily very good at understanding art. And a lot of their stuff is, you know, very clearly performance, you know. It's not honest, you know. It's not factual.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting.
It's fictional.
Yeah.
So anyway, it'd be nice if we can get to talk to them at some point. But of course, it will no longer be relevant beyond probably about 2 days ago.
Yeah, probably.
So maybe not. But maybe you know, next time something cool happens.
All right.
Now you had lined up, though, I think, a caller.
Well, no, it wasn't. I had this idea, so I've set up a phone number,
yeah,
and I've published it around some places.
Yeah.
And thought I would, I thought we'd take a random live caller. So if you listen to the podcast, it's already happened. And if you're on the live stream, too bad, we know who you are, so we're not going to let you call us.
Yeah.
But some random person has found the number and dialed it, and it's actually ringing right now, so we'll answer it. Hello, Discourse, you're on the air.
How are you? It's John Key here.
Oh, wow, Mr. Key, it's very exciting, surprise to have you on the show. Well, you're live on the Discourse podcast. What should we talk about?
So I tell you what we're going to do, right?
Yep.
Ever had a hole-in-one?
In golf? No, have you?
I'm Prime Minister of New Zealand. I've got a country to run. I've got people to serve. I've got David Shearer and Russell Norman champing at my heels. And there am I, having to run a country. I don't have time to go out there and play golf.
Sure, but you brought it up. So why have you called?
Because we want to go digital.
Yeah, okay, digital. Well, that makes sense. I don't really know what else to ask you.
Gee, you don't really do a very good job.
No, I guess not. It's just that I've been busy at work and arranging some things with my wife.
15 minutes.
I love her. She is great. Just had a baby.
Well, that was about a year ago, actually. So that's a bit weird.
Do you know that you have foresight, knowledge, wisdom? You are a tremendous human being.
Are you talking? You talking to me? You're probably talking about Morgan, really.
I think he's confused about who he's talking to because clearly, I mean that's me that you're talking about. And actually, I've got some questions for you. I don't think you should be talking to Dylan anymore. And in fact, I want to talk to you about my potential political career because I think, I mean, I've got this God-given talent for muddying up the waters and taking really simple ideas and making them very complicated. So what I've done is I've decided I should probably join the National List. Obviously, I mean, I wouldn't win an electorate. I'd have, you know, about as much chance as John Banks in a fair fight, which would be very, very slim chance indeed. What I've done is I've emailed you a headshot, and I want you to get me in at the next election.
You're munted, mate. You're never going to make it. You've got that gay red top on.
Well, I have got. I mean, I did just take the photo right now. I could try a different top. I don't mind. I don't really understand why the top is a problem. I did get it at Mardi Gras, and so it is actually. I suppose if shirts can be said to have gay tops, I don't know why you would think that an item of clothing could have an orientation. But you know, when I was over there, you know, some of the chaps in those clothes, you know, they can enhance a certain body. Made me feel sometimes like feeling what, you know, some nice firm abs would be like to rub my fingers over, you know, like a washboard, like that, and then, you know, the hair on the back of your neck would stand up and everyone would get all sweaty. And do you know what
that sort of, I do.
I know that you, I knew that you would know what I'm talking about. I mean, I guess coming out at your age, a married man, I mean, you've already had the kids, so I suppose that probably simplifies things. And I guess, maybe your boy would have a few friends. He's probably a bit young though. I don't know. What sort of age do you think would be right for someone your age? Bearing in mind, you know, the Greek rule of thumb.
Well, 18, I reckon.
18, Dylan. That's wow. That is too young. That's yeah. Much too young. I suppose, though, old enough to vote.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And given that 18-year-olds are old enough to vote, and they don't generally like you, Mr. Key, you're probably going to need a new job after the next election, one would hope. So what do you think you're going to do after the election?
And I've decided my next career is going to be on the radio.
And is that why you're on the show? Dylan, how did you explain to him?
Oh, well, no, I just put the number out. I didn't expect him to call. I just emailed the number out to some random people.
This is a podcast.
Time to cut you off.
Oh.
He thought he was, I don't know, did he think he was on ZB?
I'm not sure. I don't even know. I just sent the number out saying, call us live to talk on the show. Oh, well. Interesting, though, because he made that same comment again.
Which comment was that?
About the gay red shirt, that's twice.
He's got some sort of obsession, hasn't he?
Doesn't like red.
Doesn't like red at all. I love a red T-shirt because, you know, generally, otherwise I'm wearing pretty, you know, jeans and a fucking grey blazer or whatever. You've got to have some colour in there somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Red is good too, nice colour.
Thank you. Actually, you'd think that he would have learned his lesson. You'd think that we'd learn our lessons, and also
what's in the dictionary.
You might think that perhaps I could learn to follow a script as well.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't have ever dreamed of thinking that.
Completely failed to pay any attention to anything that was happening,
and
I complete. I wasted the opportunity. I mean, instead of talking about golf, we probably could have dug into the issues there. You know.
Yeah, it's quite hard because you got to prepare for a thing like that. You can't just jump into it. But that's okay. Next time, I'm sure he'll call back. We'll just keep an eye on the line. Maybe he'll call back. Maybe not. Probably not.
I think I think the listeners will join me in really hoping that doesn't ever happen.
Oh, I would say so.
Hmm.
And now the news.
Unless you've got something else that you would like.
Oh, discourse word of the week. How about that? Election related.
Right away. All right. Where's my button? Not that one.
It'll set the tone for the rest of the show, won't it?
Urban Dictionary word of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Your dictionary. Your Urban Dictionary word of the week. Your dictionary. Gay. No.
Urban Dictionary word of the week.
Hanging Chad, of course, is from the 2000 election.
Yep.
That was the first one with old Bush and Al Gore. Young Bush, I guess. Pretty soon it'll be middle Bush, though, I expect, because no doubt there's going to be another Bush at some stage. I mean, you'd think. Hanging Chad, in practice, in reality, in the world, of course, that was where they had a mechanical hole punch device which punched out a piece of paper on the voting form. And if you didn't pull the lever down sufficiently, it could either make a little dent instead of punching a hole, or it could do a partial cut. And those partial cuts, the hole in the donut, so to speak, the bit that was punched out of the paper, that was called a chad. And so you had a hanging chad when it wasn't fully cut through. So hanging chad.
I probably stopped listening a while ago.
Hanging chad, the bit of paper that didn't come off the voting form.
Oh, right. No. Very similar concept, though. And probably where the word hanging chad, as used in that voting context, probably came from this meaning.
Yeah.
Which is a piece of poop from the main poop that clings to the inside cheek and refuses to fall into the toilet. Failure to knock off the poop with a profuse shaking at the bottom can result in the person having to wipe down the chad, causing a hell of a wiping session.
Yeah.
Jim tried to push out that extra dookie, but failed, resulting in a nasty hanging chad that he couldn't knock loose.
You could be there for hours.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. I'm sure that rings true for many people.
You're all wrong. And now the news.
I actually don't want to do this first. All right, well, this is why we usually do the Urban Dictionary after the stories, because some of these stories are serious.
And now we've set the tone as bits of poo stuck to a bum cheek.
Man falls to death.
Oh, no, you can't do this one first. Oh, mind you.
Yeah, well, I didn't know that you were going to do that word or that was going to be the meaning. That's
Urban Dictionary word of the week. Come on now.
And we just lost, we lost a listener because of it.
Oh, don't think so.
No, we did. No, we did.
I'm not convinced.
No, we absolutely did. I can see the numbers over here. You might not be able to see the numbers. So that was bad, actually. That was bad. Not at the beginning. We need to put the really bad stuff at the end so people are sucked in to listening for longer.
Right.
Right? Do you understand how this works?
Oh, well. Next time.
So what am I going to do instead? How about this?
Next story.
So Lion have acquired the Emerson's Brewery. And a lot of people are like, shh, you motherfuckers. Because we've got a long history in New Zealand of breweries, number one, merging. And that's why we've got DB and Lion in the first place. Because, I mean, they were both made up of like 8 or so breweries each. So Lion have been acquiring, you know, craft brewers for years. And, you know, one of the reasons that the New Zealand market is so full of crappy... It was tame, Dylan. It was tame.
Yeah, that's fine.
One of the reasons that New Zealand market is full of crappy beer is because we've got these big makers who... They're not interested in having interesting beers. They're interested in having the largest part of the market and spending the least on manufacturing. And that's why there's not much flavour. They don't want to offend people with limited palates. You know, anyway, so they've acquired Emerson's, who, you know, they're not the greatest brewery in New Zealand, but they're pretty good. They're good for a fairly popular one. The old Bookbinders is all right, and so on. Anyway, Lion, they promise that they won't water it down. But you know, everyone knows that they will eventually. They'll fuck it up eventually. Anyway, and Lion, you know, which we all think of a New Zealand brewer, is blooming Japanese owned.
So when they buy it, When they buy it's owned by Asahi, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Something like Asahi, yeah.
When they buy a brewer, they take it all in-house, don't they? They don't just like buy them out and then just manage the brand. They bring all the brewing in-house.
Well, that's what they have sometimes done.
And that's where it falls apart.
And that's where it falls apart. Because why would a craft brewer move to Auckland and work in a big stainless steel and concrete room when what he likes to do, in this case, is brew at his brewery in Dunedin? Actually, yeah. For all I'm not sure. They might be a contract brewer anyway, so they might not actually make much of their own stuff. There's a lot of contract brewing that goes on in New Zealand, which is, it's actually, to me it seems misleading. You know, so one brewery, I mean, it's, it's an economies of scale thing. So one brewery will actually make a lot of the craft brewers' beers. So, I mean, that seems kind of almost fraudulent. I think virtually all of them do it. Even Epic, which is a pretty popular, one of their beers was Beer of the Year, and their head brewer and founder is Brewer of the Year. And that, I believe they contract brew.
Right.
So it's all very messed up industry, actually, brewing in New Zealand. Yeah, so the chat room, Kawana in the chat room, says that ultimately Lion is actually owned by Mitsubishi. Apparently, that may have been a joke, but maybe Mitsubishi own Kirin, who own Lion. Might go something like that. You know, control the whole vertical. If you're going to have, and I bet they also produce hospital gurneys and ambulances.
And then you get the rehydration drink.
You get the drunkenness, you get the driving, and then you get the healthcare at the end.
Yeah.
Control the vertical.
Perfect.
They probably make some kind of advanced inflatable bone-setting device as well. You know, it takes the place of an old plaster cast. That would be quite good. That would be good.
Oh, dozens of things, I'm sure.
Next story.
Things that aren't good. Phone snatches sweeping central Auckland. Around 40 smartphones are snatched every week in central Auckland, some from out of their owner's hands, because they are of high value and easy to steal.
They are pretty easy to steal. I was thinking about that, how easily you could just run past someone and grab their thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And there was an excellent, there was a viral video.
I said grab their thing, I actually meant phone.
I knew what you meant. Everyone knew what you meant. Some of those thieves, this phone snatcher, grabber, runawayers, have then contacted the owners of the phones demanding cash for the return.
That seems like a good idea. That's not going to turn out badly for the thieves at all.
No, because there's no way that additional contact will give you an additional exposure.
Yeah, or that you'd try and meet them somewhere and that perhaps it wouldn't be them, it would be the police.
Or perhaps it would be them with a bat.
Or a bat, yes. Yeah.
I mean, if someone...
Oh, mind you, what was the thing? There's a currency, like a gift card you can buy somewhere that people are using for these things.
For paying ransoms.
Yeah, something like that. So you buy this gift card at like a supermarket.
Like a Prezi card sort of a thing.
Something like that. And it's one of those ones where you scratch off the back and it's got a special PIN number underneath it. And you basically, so the deal is they contact you by email or whatever and you have to go and buy one of these cards, scratch off the back and email them the number. Oh, that's what it was. It was fake police notices, fake police infringement notices.
Yeah.
So that's interesting because I was thinking, how else do you get money from one person to another and keep it relatively anonymous besides bitcoins?
Which will just be inevitably stolen off you in the next attack.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's been more bitcoins stolen than ever actually existed.
Yeah.
Actually, that's probably true given that they're basically like the central banks have been drained a couple of times. It's not the way to build a currency that you can really trust, is it?
Not so much.
I'm trying to get that person that quit the show to come back, but they probably won't.
It's fine. Doesn't matter. They're moving on. It does matter, but, moving on.
Next story.
Man falls to death inside university building. Now, this happened two doors away from me on campus, and it is really stink. If you've ever been into the Owen Glen building, which is the...
shiny new one.
It's the business school. You'll know that there's a giant atrium. So this man who fell six stories inside the building, not outside the building. And where he landed inside the atrium, there are, especially at this time of year, there are a lot of people there. All the time. And so a lot of people saw this. So it's pretty tough. Tough for everyone involved. Toughest probably for his family who now, have lost their son and brother and so on. A man in his 20s is dead after falling six stories onto the crowded floor of the Owen Glen building at Auckland University. Emergency services were called to the business school on the corner of Grafton Road and Simon Street at 11 a.m. They confirmed a man in his 20s had died at the scene. The death is not being treated as suspicious, which is something that we hear under very particular circumstances. The right. death is not being treated as suspicious. Of course, I don't know that we know. I don't know that we know what happened. But it doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't. Does it matter? It doesn't matter if it was suicide or accidental, as terrible for the person regardless. Because if it was suicide, he wasn't in his right mind.
Yeah.
So he wasn't able to make, you know, a rational choice. And so we're kind of in either case, it's an accident, regardless of, you know, why it happened. But if it was an accident, that's even worse. Because then, I mean, that would just be a terrible shock. You know, lean on a railing and suddenly tumble over. That would really suck. Anyway. Just yeah. to not be too much of a downer, unless you have something to say about this one. Let's move on.
No, not really.
Anyway, yeah, it's terrible. Very young.
It interests me because there was another situation with a high-profile lawyer who we just won't really discuss, but we've talked about it. Who was the director? Tom Scott? Not Ridley, the other one.
Yeah. Yeah, his brother. Yeah.
And in all those cases, you know, these people, especially, you know, people who are mature, have families, have successful careers, and it's impossible to understand. And
That's Tony Scott.
That's yeah. the aspect that interests me, but I don't know. I mean, how do you even approach that?
Yeah. Now, what was the name of the lawyer that just died?
Greg King.
Greg King. So now it's been said in the media that he had had bad news about his health. And that's the same thing that we heard about Tony Scott. Someone said that.
Sir Bob Jones said that.
Right. And it's the same thing that we initially heard about Tony Scott, but then later it turned out that was just, you know, people trying to understand, and it wasn't true.
And that's the thing. It's trying to understand. You try to rationalize it, and it's not rational, which, of course, you know, that's the difficulty is you think about these things in irrational terms. You're like, well, that person's got a good life. Their life's a lot better than mine, you know. Why would they? But it doesn't work that way.
Yeah. It doesn't work that way. There are bad things that happen in the world, and I think that depression is not a person's choice to make to have it. And if you get it, you know, all we can do is you know, be really as good as possible to our friends as we can.
You know? Yeah,
we've all got shit that we need to do ourselves, but you know, sometimes a friend just needs a you know, bit of your time. You never know. I'm not very generous with my time usually. I like to just stay at home, but you know, sometimes. You know, people, they just need a little bit of FaceTime.
Next story.
This is the wrong story to do next. What am I going to do instead? Okay. HP Envy Touch Smart Ultrabook 4 review. And this is one of the first Windows 8 Ultrabooks. And it has a touch screen. And let me tell you the only thing you need to know about this laptop. And this is why you'll decide to buy it or not to buy it. It has a 1366 by 768 screen. So, That's fucking funny. Who buys a laptop with that low a resolution now? You're out of your mind if you get a piece of shit laptop like this. And if you do buy a laptop like this, you are ruining laptops. You're ruining the whole industry. Because these fucking bastards making these piece of shit laptops, they should not make any money out of it. They should be punished for it. This has to be a failure. Don't buy laptops with 1366 by 768 screens. Don't do it. Ever. Asshole.
I wonder if they can even tell what's a failure of a laptop these days. There's just so many laptop models. I mean, you look at even like Compaq.
Yeah.
Like there's different models in different stores.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Harvey Norman sells a different range of Compaq models than Dick Smith does.
Yeah. It's customer hostile.
Don't understand it.
Yeah, it's terrible for the end user. It's because most people aren't going to go to The Verge or to Gadget or whatever or CNET and look at the reviews. And even if you do, the model number is going to be fractionally different. And who knows what that could change? You know, you might go from something sweet to something shit. They hurt us. And yeah, they hurt themselves by doing that, by having that.
It's amazing on the same base model number. Sometimes you can have like, oh yeah, this is great. It's an Intel i7 or it might be an AMD just something or other. I don't know. It depends on exactly the specifics of the model.
An AMD junk dozer. Yeah. which would you rather have, a Core i7 or an AMD junk dozer?
I never understood why they used that code name for it. It was very strange. I would have gone with something a little more, you know, aspirational, but sure, junk dozer.
The names of some of these things. I mean, on the Apple site, I mean, Apple clearly are the only people who are doing this job right. Right? No one else is doing it right. They have MacBook.
Yep.
Okay, and they've got MacBook Pro 13, MacBook Pro 15. All right.
Ah, but then.
But there are the Retina displays.
No, but it's more complicated than that because you're like, oh, I need to get new RAM for my MacBook. Oh, what MacBook is it? Oh, it's an early 2011.
Well, I mean, you might be able to get RAM. Well, but you get an easier answer now. They say, no, you can't. It's soldered onto the motherboard, sucked in. But that's beside the point. So, I mean, I want to get, I'm looking forward to getting a Toshiba PSK DLA-0CD00S. Are you sure about that one? Because that's $1,200. But I've heard that the Acer D270-26DKK:NU.SGASA.001 I've heard that's almost as good. And that's only $400. Or you could get a Sony SVE15118FG.
No, don't buy that. That's based on a junk Dozer chipset.
So whatever you do, whatever you buy, don't get a junk Dozer. Someone in the chat room, an Apple dickhead, said, "What, pray tell, is a fucking Ultrabook?" Well, what a fucking Ultrabook is Intel's misguided attempt to respond to the MacBook Air years late and kind of half-assedly. It's a spec, I guess, for laptops that are meant to be thin and light. And I think they don't have optical drives. The brand was immediately ruined because people called all sorts of pieces of shit Ultrabooks. It was sort of like, you know, a netbook is a piece of junk.
And a netbook's a small laptop that's not as useful.
And an Ultrabook is meant to be a small laptop that is better than a netbook.
Yeah.
But it never quite worked out because the manufacturers hate their customers. Apparently.
It is unfortunate.
However few customers they've got left after being assholes for years, for decades. I don't know. I mean, it's very hard to continue liking PCs. I tell you what, in the age of laptops, I mean, in the age of desktops, you just build whatever you want, right? There's always, you know, any little computer store, you know, you get crazy enthusiasts who want to make amazing machines and they start businesses around it and you can get something incredible. But in the age of laptops, you're stuck with fucking pieces of junk from whatever Taiwanese manufacturer will deign to sell you something.
And I was actually quite impressed with the Samsung ones the last time I went looking.
Yeah.
I got one because they're not as ridiculous in their model numbering.
Yeah, I rate Samsung. They seem pretty good and they don't seem like they're going to go out of business anytime soon. They made like $60 billion last year or something.
Well, they're the second biggest chip manufacturer in the world as well.
Yeah, they're big boys and they probably do use the junk dozer, but they'll probably let you know it's the junk dozer.
Well, maybe it says right on the box, junk dozer.
Now 100% junk dozer enabled. Actually, I bet that Samsung have some really shitty model names. Let's say, what have they got? Samsung, there we go. Yep, they certainly do. You could get a 700Z5A-S07AU.
See, that's weird, because that's not really the model number. Oh, like mine is an RP720. That's all it seems to say. I mean, there's a minor distinction, I guess, but that seems to be enough. When I search for that, I get a laptop, regardless of what website I look at from what country, I get a laptop that matches mine.
Yeah.
Whereas when I had a Compaq, I'd be like, okay, Compaq CQ61. Oh, this could be very, very different.
I very nearly bought one of the new MacBook Pro 13 Retina laptops, but two things were wrong with it. One is the hard drive is soldered onto the motherboard. Actually, no, it might not be soldered on, but it's Apple's weird little, you know, their own spec, no one makes them SSD. So you can't just swap it out. And by default, I think they come with like 128 gig SSD, and they charge $500 to double that. But a $500 SSD is not 256 gigabytes.
It's more like 500.
Exactly. So it's Apple basically playing the stupid fucking games that they used to play for years on end that, you know, you'd hope they'd bloody well stop doing with the ridiculous stuff that they were always doing with RAM. And the RAM also now on those machines seems to be all bloody soldered on. What a pain in the ass.
Yeah, with SSDs it's really interesting because they are, essentially designed to fail. Yeah. I mean, that they have a finite number of rights.
Yeah.
After that point, they stop working.
They really stop working. Yeah. And so, I mean, in the case of a MacBook, they just expect you to be able to go to an Apple store, and the genius behind the bar will take it into a back room, swap it, and bring it back to you, and possibly charge you nothing, depending on where you are in terms of your Apple Care. Or in New Zealand, our consumer guarantees that means they probably have to do it for the life of the laptop, regardless of what you pay for. But we don't have Apple stores. We've got nothing like that. You know, we've got shitty...
Ubertech.
Yeah, but they are not an Apple store.
No.
They're mercenary assholes. Only out for themselves. And some companies learn that if you're out for yourself, the best way to serve your own interests is to treat your customers really, really well. But, you know, retail people don't seem to be so good for it at that. Anyway.
Next story.
Speaking of this stupid piece of crap laptop, this is a Craigslist missed connection listing to the person who shit in a sock at Kmart.
Good start.
About 2 years ago, I was a janitor at the Centre Kmart. This is in Alabama. At the Centre, Centre is a town or a city, apparently. Centre, Alabama. Who knew? At the Centre Kmart, I went about my janitor duties and swept out the bathroom. The women's room, I might add, and this is important because of what's coming. And my broom caught a hold of something heavy behind the toilet. I swept it out and found out that it was a sock. With my gloved hand, I picked up the sock, curious as to why the sock was so heavy. I wish I never did do that, for I looked inside, and sure enough, there was a turd in that sock. I've got to know. This has been bothering me for 2 years now. I still wonder why and how shit got in that sock. Did you get into the bathroom stall and think to yourself, do I really want to shit in this public toilet? Or, oh, hey, I have this comfortable sock I could shit into instead. And just hold that sock up to your ass and go for it? If this is so, and you are able to hold that up to your ass and successfully bag that shit, then I applaud you for executing such a task, and also for doing one of the most disgusting, confusing things I've ever seen in my life. What happened in that stall that possessed you to do such a vile, horrid thing? You've left me in sheer wonderment for quite some time, and I just have to know now. It's time to fess up. Please help my mind be at peace.
That is amazing.
The things that some people will do are
crazy. Is, like, when I read that, the first thing that came to mind was, how do you do that? What? How? Just the logistics of it. It's very impressive.
Yeah. Impressive, yes, but I don't know that we should be impressed specifically. I don't think so.
Next story.
Poll challenges, phony instructions could mar vote. And this is what I spoke about earlier during when we were speaking at the beginning of the show. Persistent reports of robocalls incorrectly telling voters they can cast ballots over the phone, and fears of aggressive challenges by monitors at polling places threaten to mar election day in many key states. Voting rights advocates on Monday. The fake phone calls, some of which involve live callers, continue to crop up in Virginia, North Carolina, and Florida, primarily among African-American voters, said this this lawyer from the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. The group has mounted a counteroffensive of tens of thousands of calls reminding voters they can't cast ballots over the phone.
Oh, that'd be helpful.
Yeah. Man, it is so dirty. Why are they?
I'd be so pleased to receive a call saying I could vote over the phone, then receive another call from someone saying I couldn't, and then probably receive another one from someone saying
what
I couldn't.
What is this, some sort of bait
switch? I wish
switch.
Someone would start calling me and telling me that my computer doesn't have a virus. That would be helpful.
Boop, beep, boop, beep, boop. I could probably do that.
Yeah, would you? That'd be great. Just every couple of weeks, just call me with an Indian accent, ideally, and tell me that my computer doesn't have a virus.
Hello, are you there, Mr. Reeve?
Yes.
Hello, my name is Sahil Gupta, and I don't have an accent because I was born in New Zealand, and so was my father, grandfather, and great grandfather.
Sure.
So why I would have an accent other than New Zealand accent, I don't know. You should probably think about your racism on that. you know, and before that, my family wasn't from India. My family was from Fiji. You know, we've been Pacificans, but possibly longer than your family has. So when you look at me and think that I'm from somewhere else instead of from here, it hurts me right in the heart. But what I wanted to call you today for was to tell you that we have detected that your computer has no viruses.
Great, thank you.
Okay. So have a nice day. And I don't have a sound effect for hanging up Skype. speaking of, I need to change my scheme back to this one.
Next story.
Speaking of shitbags.
Okay.
Waikato man takes Apple to court over bargain.
45 minutes.
A Waikato man is taking on technology giant Apple after he says the company backed out on an online deal that seemed too good to be true. Adam Crouchley, a Te Awamutu-based online marketing specialist, which means what, will have his David vs. Goliath day in the disputes tribunal with the multinational corporation on December 13. The conflict, well, basically, it sounds like on the Apple website, they fucked up some of their listings. And he was like, this doesn't seem right. And he says that he then contacted their online chat salespeople and said, hello, can you confirm this? And he says that they said, yes, it's correct. And then after he ordered, he claims that some of his purchase was cancelled. And then and the Apple said that the stuff that had already been shipped he could have, but then Apple figured out a way to stop the courier. And so they cancelled that as well. And then this crybaby, trying to take advantage of a database error, has taken them to disputes tribunal.
I get that, although I do wonder, once he...
This guy is the worst kind of grasper.
What?
He's the worst kind of grasper. There's this I think that most of the websites where you can buy stuff are run by tiny businesses. And many of them really provide a very good deal. And if they have an accidental price mistake... Now, ignoring for the moment his claim that he spoke to someone in a chat room and they said it was okay, because I don't know if that's true or not. Is that something you can do on the Apple website?
Oh, well, I don't know. I guess if that can be proven, it makes a big, big difference.
Because that does change things. If they said, yes, that's the correct price, then, you know, then that's one thing. But I don't think that you should have an expectation when a price is incorrect on a website that you should be able to get it. I don't have a problem with people having a go, but because, you know, sometimes it works.
There was a Dick Smith one a while ago where they had a lot of mistakes online. That was
And it was obviously a mistake.
Yeah.
It was obviously a mistake. And I think that if they send it to you, then cool, you win. And if they don't, shut up. You had a go. It was a mistake. And actually, they don't have to give you. Because it's not really the same as placing an advertisement with the intent to deceive people to come and shop when you actually don't have anything at that price. I'm not talking about bait and switch stuff, where I think retailers who do that should be fucking destroyed, right?
Yeah.
But when it's an honest mistake, you should have no expectation that you'll get it.
I'm trying to find, there is a
and here he is making crybaby eyes, little puppy dog face in the paper. Because he's taking them to court. Oh, well, I mean, good luck to you. Maybe it'll work out. But, you know, you did order $1,600 worth of stuff and pay $35 for it. And you did get all your money back. So
was it?
Yeah.
Right. He's not going to win. He's not going to win.
He might. You never know. Disputes tribunal might take his side.
If he can prove that he spoke to a human being who confirmed the prices were accurate, then he has a chance, I'd say.
He has a chance. If it's if that's true, I just don't know if you can do that on the Apple website.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that either.
It seems easy to verify.
Yeah, but it's interesting. If I can't remember this. I remember looking at the specifics when the Dick Smith thing happened, and the deal was if it's, you know, if your transaction's completed, at that point it's pretty much yours.
See, here's the thing. I'm looking at store.apple.com/NZ, and there's an 0800 number, and there is no link.
Did he say he spoke to someone online? I thought he said he spoke to a person on the phone.
Is that right? Because when
I don't know. You read the story.
Yeah, I read it 3 days ago.
Yeah. I wasn't listening.
Yeah. Anyway. So I think
that's anything that makes a big difference, really.
Thinking aloud, NZ in the chat room, aren't prices an invitation to offer? Yes, it's something to do with treating. Is that right? Entreating? Yes, invitation to, there's a particular phrase I've heard lawyers use before. And I don't think that you need, I mean, once you even get up to the till, a person can refuse to sell you whatever for whatever reason, I reckon.
Yeah, basically.
But outside of bait and switch stuff, you know, outside of intentional trying to deceive you with advertising, outside of that, I think that, you know, it's fair to cancel any trade any time. Any time.
Yeah, I think, once the Dick Smith thing, I think the deal was once the transaction was completed, kind of in legal terms it was complete and people were entitled to what they'd purchased for the price they'd agreed to and paid for. But it was complicated by the fact no human was involved. But once a human gets involved, then it's a different matter. I mean, if a human says, yep, that's the price. Yeah, that's what it says on the website. Looks like it. That's good. Yep, that's the price. Then, I don't know. Then it's all. Then I'd say it's up for grabs. Yeah. Maybe you got it.
Yeah.
Next story.
Now this is actually a lot like what I just said about that piece of shit netbook. With the crappy resolution screen. Linus Torvalds advocates for 2560 by 1600 standard laptop displays. This is actually from Slashdot. Linus Torvalds arguing that today's standard laptop display resolution is unreasonably low. He said, with even a $399 tablet doing 2560 by 1600 pixel displays, can we please just make that the new standard resolution, even at 11 inches? Please, stop with the retina crap. Just call it reasonable resolution. The fact that laptops stagnated 10 years ago, and even regressed in many cases, at around half that in both directions is just sad. I still don't want big luggable laptops, but that 1366 by 768 is so last century. And that's true, and I couldn't...
So people were still selling for a long time, and you can still get them now if you buy TVs? A cheap TV.
Yeah.
Like, HD ready was the claim, and it just basically meant that it had an HDMI port in the back of it.
Yeah.
And often they were 1366 by 768 was a common display resolution, but even 852 by 480 wasn't uncommon.
And that's outrageous, because that on like a 40-inch plus screen...
Insane.
The resolution is too low on a 13-inch laptop screen. Put it on a 14-inch TV, and fair enough, you're sitting further away. But it's still, it's not all right. It's no good.
No.
It's ridiculous. What is not ridiculous, and what is cool, is this... Have you seen the Seattle surveillance cameraman?
No.
He's polarizing on Metafilter. Some people thought he was an asshole and some people thought he was awesome. I actually wrote to him and said that I thought he was a fucking genius. People seem to be okay. This is Seattle's creepy cameraman pushes public surveillance buttons. People seem to be okay with constant corporate or government video surveillance in public. Let alone individual point of video camera their way, however, and tempers flare. GeekWire takes a look at the antics and videos of Seattle's mysterious surveillance cameraman who walks up to people and records them for no apparent reason other than to make a point. How is what he's doing different from those stationary surveillance cameras tucked away in buildings and public places? At least with surveillance cameraman, they answer the rhetorical question, you specifically know that he's watching you. So this is amazing. If you can watch, he's got a couple on Vimeo and he's got one or two on YouTube. And he literally is just a guy with a camera, just videoing people in public places, walking up to people having a coffee or talking on the phone, or aiming his camera through windows at people inside shops and restaurants and in a Scientology place, a church, I guess you'd probably call it. And some people...
I wouldn't, but some people would.
Yeah, some people would. Coven?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know, something like that. Hovel? Not with all that money. No, it's not a hovel. And some people are all right. Many people, everyone almost, is confused. There's a very sweet exchange when a lovely girl starts dancing and talking and she's really friendly and then she's like, hey, so you want to come to my place and party? It'll only cost you $10, maybe $30. And it's like, oh, okay, well, that's really sad. The sweet girl turns out to be a drug addicted prostitute. Which is a bummer, and it's and that is probably the most, you know, poignant story that he captures. But then, you know, the Scientology people lose their shit. Some people get really angry, try and smash the camera out of his hand and shove him, and just go crazy. And people swear at him, call him asshole, say worse. And I think it's brilliant. So I think you should go to the show notes and have a look at the creepy surveillance cameraman. And a lot of people think that this guy's a dick, even the people who watch it. I think a lot of people don't understand.
Yeah, it's
It's challenging. It's a challenging thing. And but there, he is not doing this for no reason. But he's not doing it for a reason. He's telling the people he's recording. If people ask him what he's doing, he just says, "I'm just making a video." Just mumbles, "Just making a video." You know, just making a video. No matter what.
He must have big balls.
He's got giant balls.
Next story.
It's crazy.
Freddie Starr.
Me? No, you.
You want to do a story? Well, actually, let's get yours out of the way because we actually don't have a lot of time.
I've only
got two and I just forgot about them.
Go on then.
Mega Cable! ! Kim.com's going to save us all.
Is that right? I don't want to be saved by that criminal asshole, but all right, so what's he going to do to save us all?
This is not going to help my chances of trying to get him on the show when you call him a criminal asshole. He wants to resurrect Mega Cable. He wants to resurrect Pacific Cable.
Yeah.
He's Pacific Fibre.
Pacific Fibre.
Pacific Fibre, sorry, yes. He's doing a new online business file locker, something or other. Details will be announced early next year, I think.
ME.ga.
ME.ga. He wants to host it in New Zealand, which, of course, requires bandwidths. And he wants to resurrect the Pacific Fibre cable. Got some interesting ideas. It would be interesting to see if it happened, but I think the difficulties they had with it the first time about the US refusing to let them land the cable because they wanted to use Huawei equipment are not going to be made any easier by involving Kim.com.
Well, just don't use Huawei equipment. I mean, isn't that the solution? If they won't accept that equipment, use different equipment.
I think the deal was that it becomes not as easy. I don't know. I'm sure that was considered. I think that Huawei makes good equipment that is cheaper or something. I don't know.
All right. Well, those motherfuckers have to learn how to negotiate. I mean, I'm sure they're good negotiators, obviously. Talk to friggin' Lucent and say, listen, this deal goes ahead if you play ball, and it doesn't happen if you don't. And they'll say, well, you know, maybe we can do something.
I don't think that was the only problem, but I think that was a large problem.
A bigger problem was they couldn't get funding, but all right.
Well, that was part of it. And they couldn't, there was a chicken and egg thing there, apparently. They couldn't get funding because of the issues they were having trying to land the cable. I don't know. We could probably talk to one of them sometime. Yeah. But, he wants to bring us all internet and he wants to make it free. His idea is to provide essentially a free internet connection for individuals in as much as, you know, provide capacity to ISPs to provide services to individuals for free.
Yeah.
We'd still pay ISPs for their infrastructure cost, but apparently a lot less is by his plan and charge businesses and also sell to businesses directly, I think. Or something like that.
That sounds like it sounds like a plan that will never fly.
It sounds like an interesting business model that I think it could.
It's a terrible business model. I don't think it would ever work, and it doesn't make any sense to make the offer.
The internets aren't that expensive. Is the thing.
Any sense to make the offer. ISPs are prepared to pay for international bandwidth. They just want more providers, and they want a lower price. Right. Well, so saying I'm going to give this away free because I'm fucking Santa Claus doesn't make any sense. This guy's only ever done one thing that made any money, and it was an illegal copyright infringing file trading service, right? He's only done one thing that ever made it. Oh, and also he was a thief. You know, that also, I think, probably made him money for himself. What he's done a lot is lie about how much money he had. He's got a long history of that. And maybe he can get this thing going. I think it would be great if Pacific Fibre came back online, but it's got to be run by adults, and he isn't one.
Yes. Well, regardless, I think it's an interesting that angle is an interesting approach because if you were already running a business that was going to benefit from it and could essentially subsidize it, you could do that. If the profit from the cable itself wasn't your primary concern,
but there's no reason to subsidize it.
No,
there's no point
in
doing that. This thing, it couldn't financially be made to work with people paying retail prices, right? So this fat fucking asshole thinks he can make it work by giving shit away for free. No, maybe it can be made to work, but not by giving it away. Charge a fair price. Don't be Santa. Don't be ridiculous. Anyway, we're actually going to run out of time.
I used to come on the show now. That's fine.
I don't give a shit if does or doesn't come on the show because I am not interested in talking to him. He's got nothing to say that I'm interested in hearing.
What's your auntie been talking about?
It's something that I am very interested in, though, but unfortunately the season's now over, is Beyond the Darklands, which is a TV show hosted by Nigel Latter.
You didn't see any of it?
I saw every episode.
Oh, sorry. I watched the Centrepoint one last night. Very disturbing.
There were 8 episodes in the season, and it's just finished. There was season 5, but you can still go and watch it on the if you're in New Zealand, on the absolutely brilliant TVNZ On Demand.
It'll
be in the show notes. Yep, all of it. And it is such beautiful high-quality renders and codes. They've got like a 1.5
5.
Megabit quality option, and it is
4.
Beautiful. It's nice to use. It streams fast in New Zealand.
3.
Away you go. Thank you so much for listening.
2.
It's been great shouting in your ears.
Don't forget 1. To rewind the tape.
See you next week.
Bye.
You're listening to the weekly show on with course.
All right, we're using that one.
Apparently, I don't like Kim.com.
Apparently.
I don't dislike him as much as I made out. I probably do dislike him that much. If he came on the show, that's all right. But I just don't think anything he would say would be interesting. I think everything he would say would be self-serving.
I'm sure it would. But yeah, well, yes, probably. You could say that about lots of people. But I'm not as jaded about him. But I'm also not going to herald him as the second coming.
He clearly is not that. Just read Jose's, once he had a bit of time to think about the experience, read his take on the whole thing, the swim at Kim thing. And, the way the guy responded when anyone dared to not just be a yes man, it seems like all of his friends and colleagues pretty much just afraid of him. And that's no good. I think he's probably some kind of a bully. And he has a history of being a complete scumbag. And, people don't entirely change their nature.
No, but I'm willing to. Yeah, well, I guess it depends on the angle of the scumbaggery. Certainly there was some investment fraud that is very dickish.
Yeah. He is a knob. Do we want to do any of this other stuff? I don't think we do. Let's just wrap that up there.
Done.
Thank you so much for listening. That's the end of the not even really an overflow. Fish and chips. I probably should put a fish and chips on the thing board, because it's not like I regularly use. Or
there's no extra large this week.
No, hardly ever. In fact, almost never.
Certainly not in the live show.
No, that's right. I do use them, just very infrequently.
Fish and chips, fish and chips.
Sorry, the show is cancelled. Beep.